It's a book club show, and I'm admitting up front I haven't read the book. Good morning, and welcome to Talk of Alaska. I'm Steve Heimel. Maybe that's okay because I'm not in the book club. It's being run out of school libraries, and it's called Spirit of Reading. And we do have guests who have read the book. Our number 1-800-478-8255, toll-free. In Anchorage, a local call at 550-8422. Email talk@aprn.org. The author of the Spirit Bear novels is with us today on Talk of Alaska Statewide.
Today's program is underwritten in part by BP, teaming up with Alaskans since statehood and together looking toward a bright future.
Well, I guess we'll start right out with Ben Michelson, the author of Touching Spirit Bear and Ghost of Spirit Bear, joins us from his home in Bozeman, Montana. Hiya, Ben.
How are you this morning? Good morning.
Good morning. I'm doing pretty good. I have two people who have read your book in the studio with us. They are Amanda Strickland and Aaron Fleener, and they are both from Golden View Middle School. Is that right? Okay, so they're there, and I'm sure they'll have some questions for you because I told them to prepare some questions.
great.
But I also want to talk a little bit about the Spirit of Reading program. It must have been interesting for you. Originally, we were going to try and incorporate a Talk of Alaska with you while you were here in the state, but that fell through because they had you too booked up. So,
it was a fun but crazy trip. We went all the way from Sitka to Anchorage to north of there, Wasilla. It was fun.
Yeah, so you have already had a lot of interaction with all these people that have read your book. I would imagine that that must have been really enjoyable.
Yeah, well, you know, the comment was made earlier that if Montana ever kicks me out, I'm heading to Alaska because over the years, Alaska has welcomed me so wonderfully. As a writer, and you know, just as a human being, I've gone up and down the Inland Passage and been all the way from the Yukon all the way over to St. Lawrence Island. It's been a fun state to be around.
Wow, yeah, you've definitely gotten to see a goodly portion of the state. Well, it's obvious that there's a good connection here. What do you think, Ben? Is it about your books that connect so well?
You know, when I grew up, I was raised down in Bolivia, South America, and I was a fair-skinned person in a dark-skinned society, and I knew at an early age what it was like to be teased, to have mud smeared in my face, to, you know, be held down. And when I came to the United States of America in middle school, of course, that was, my skin was the only thing that was not different about me when I went to Minnesota, and the kids teased me for the sports I played, how I spoke, how I dressed. And so I knew what it was like to be both a victim, and I knew what it was like to become so angry that you start lashing out at the world and you start becoming basically a bully. And I think after 9/11, that was the incident that I knew there was a lot of anger. I travel a lot. I visit in schools a lot, and I saw a lot of anger in students, and I related to that. And I knew sooner or later that I would write a story that had that emotional backbone to it. And that's—I think—that was the basis for the book.
Wow, yeah. You know, we were on the air right after that happened, and they were saying, "Well, do you think we should cancel the show?" I mean, Lord knows what people will say. And I argued not to cancel the show, and we did do the show. But boy, do I ever know about that anger that you're talking about. There was such a feeling that ran through people on that day. It was quite a privilege to be able to do a radio show on that day.
Yeah. You know, and in many ways, you know, there's a lot of controversy as to, you know, the psychological makeup of these two boys. But in many cases around schools, I've seen that a lot of times it's the kids that are victimized that become bullies. That's their way of, that's almost a survival mode for them.
Wow.
And so I want kids to realize, and I think from Ghost of Spirit Bear, especially the sequel to Touching Spirit Bear, the kids start realizing they have a role in this. You know, you stand by and watch somebody be victimized. If later that person becomes a bully and then you start becoming their target, you played a role in not standing up earlier for them. You know, I have a zero tolerance attitude in schools for bullying, anything that diminishes somebody else.
Well, you've definitely got Amanda and Aaron's attention, I can tell. Let's go to Sitka right now, and Ginny Blackson, are you with us there, Ginny?
I am. Good morning, Steve. Good morning, Ben.
Good morning, Ginny.
So, we have you on because you're kind of the godmother of the this amazing program that's gotten such participation, and I'm wondering what your secret is that you've managed. I mean, I've been involved with a bunch of different book clubs, and some of them involving kids, and this is by far the most successful one I've come across.
Well, the Alaska Spirit of Reading program was the brainchild of three Sitka librarians, Carrie Sagel at Blatchley Middle School, Erica Drain at Mount Edgecombe High School, and myself at Sitka High School, and once a month, the three of us get together for an audio conference, and we were sitting around one day waiting to get online and decided that what we really wanted to do was a statewide book club. And we were fortunate to receive a grant from the Alaska State Library Interlibrary Cooperation Grant Program. And it was a lot of work, but we had a lot of help. The program was co-sponsored by the Alaska Association of School Librarians, and I think that Ben was a great author to start the program off with because everybody wanted Ben to visit. And unfortunately, we couldn't do that, but what we did instead is had him come to Sitka, Anchorage, the Mat-Su. We did an audio conference with some rural schools, and then this Friday we're doing a video conference with two schools on the Kenai and a school on St. Paul Island. And so we've tried to make Ben as available as we can, but it's certainly been a lot of work, but it's really been worth it.
Yeah, that's. I think you answered the question, and the answer was hard work. It sounds like you just rolled up your sleeves and wouldn't take no for an answer, and we're very determined about busting through all the barriers, and you still are.
Yes, and we, the Sitka librarians, spent a lot of Saturdays having coffee together. We put in a lot of time, but certainly it's been well worth it. Carrie Sagel ran our internet presence, which is www.akspiritofreading.com, we did some curriculum resources for teachers to use with students, and then we have been running a blog since Ben's visit so that the students who got to experience Ben's visits could share their experience with students around the state.
Well, great. You know, I'm thinking it is such a this is the age that if you can get the reading habit at the middle school age, you're going to be a reader. You are going to continue to build all your skills with the language and so forth, but you're also going to be a part of the culture because you can actually read these books and make sense out of them.
And I think that in Alaska, we're experiencing what we're experiencing in many schools around the country is that we're information rich and book poor. And while the author's visit was really important to us, it was putting books in the hands of students. And so part of the project was that we bought a couple of hundred copies of Touching Spirit Bear, Ghost of Spirit Bear, and another book Ben wrote called Tree Girl, which was about the Guatemalan genocide. And we put those in packets of 15 books, including audiobooks, and we put them in priority mailboxes and mailed them around the state. And priority mail was really our friend because we knew how much it would cost. And so the grant paid to mail the set out once. It went to a school. That school had the financial responsibility of $9.80 to mail it to the next school. And some of our sets have made their way around the state two or three times.
Wow. Yeah, we used to call that bicycling in the radio network business, where if you had a great show, you took a tape of it and you mailed it to another radio station, and then they just bicycled them all the way. They used to bicycle radio shows all across the country that way. It's so great to hear that that's still going on. It's kind of like the Russian Samizdat thing when the state controlled all the copying machines and all the printing presses, and people got mimeographs and passed things to read amongst themselves, and things would get read until the paper disintegrated because it was pretty lousy paper in the first place in Russia.
And then we actually, know, this is a really touching spirit bear. One of the reasons why we chose it is that it is for middle school, but it also resonates with high school students, and I actually have four young men here with me at Sitka High. Two of our freshman classes read Touching Spirit Bear.
I'll tell you what, Jenny, I would like to, if one of them or maybe all of them have some questions for Ben, that would be great. I do want to give Aaron and Amanda the first crack, though, and I do have one more question for you, and that is, was there any problem with the subject matter of the books? I mean,
there wasn't. There were some concerns about Tree Girl, but just because it's a hard book to read. But, you know, I think our response was well accepted of the genocide in Guatemala is a hard thing to talk about, and none of the content of that book is unjustified. It wouldn't have been the same had the scenes that people found disturbing in it not been included. But no, I don't think that I think in your classroom, was there any controversy? You know, there really wasn't. I mean, at the heart, the book is about bullying and coming of age, and I think that that's a theme that resonates with everyone.
All right, let's get some questions in there. Ben, are you ready?
You bet.
All right, Aaron Fleener of Golden View. Welcome to Talk of Alaska. What do you have to say to Ben?
I had a question. Do you, with the mouse, when he eats it, what made you come up with that particular part?
You know, I think, you know, when I was your age, I went through a lot of experience. I went through three revolutions in South America, walked to school over dead bodies. You know, I saw my first execution by the time I was 10. I had a pretty rough childhood, and in many ways, I think my mind never went beyond that. The lessons I learned, I wanted so badly to communicate to kids nowadays your age. That, and if that can take a few speed bumps out of your life, that's fine. But one thing, as far as the mouse, I've tried never to lose my imagination, and I in that sense, I'm still a kid at heart. Yeah, I can be real serious if I have to, like when I wrote Tree Girl and about genocide and some of Cole's anger. But there are the other times in a book when I get to, and there's the little kind of the devil in me, you know, that says, oh, I got to write something ishy gooey, slimy, creepy or scary. You know, I have to, you know, this is gross, so I want to write it down. And I'll admit there's just a little bit of that in me. And when Cole had to survive, I thought, man, what could he have to do? And maybe if he had to eat a live mouse, that'd be cool, you know. And so I never don't think too deep into that. It was just me being a kid.
Snakes and snails and puppy dogs' tails.
Yeah.
Aaron, what do you think of that?
It's, that's a boy.
Well, you got brothers, you ought to know.
Yeah.
All right, Amanda Strickland of Golden View.
Yeah, when you came to our school, you talked about how first you were the victim and then you became the bully. And mm-hmm. I was wondering, is Touching Spirit Bear about your life story? Is that where
you know, I've always called, Amanda, I've always called Touching Spirit Bear my emotional autobiography. Okay, I made up the story, but emotionally, that was my coming of age. At one point in my life, I was Peter Driscoll when he was the victim. At another point in my life, I became Cole Matthews when I became very angry when I came to the United States of America at your age. And then there came a time when I realized that life can be really, really cool if you treat it decent. And once I started discovering that, then Edwin and Garvey, the Tlingit elders in the book, then I became them and their mindset. So I made up the story. The process of circle justice, okay, very, very much real. All of the methods that they used in the book, the carrying the ancestor rocks, all of the rolling, you know, soaking in the ponds, breaking the sticks of anger, carving the totems, all of that methodry that was used in the book was taught to me by a Haida spiritual leader that I met down in British Columbia. And so the processes are very real and alive today. The story, however, I made that up.
You Do you feel you were appropriating, or do you feel that this cultural material is proper property for you to be working with?
Oh, you know, to me, this gets down to philosophical discussion, but to me, 90% of our existence on this planet is very, very much common. We all have the same, you know, psychological human needs. We all share perplexity with the universe and what our purpose on Earth is and all that stuff. The difference is, the cultural difference is, if I never, ever touched anything that didn't come directly from my own experiences, I couldn't write any books that didn't have a gender difference, didn't have handicapped people, didn't have, you know, people from different cultures. I would be the blandest writer you ever met. And I don't agree with that. I do believe very, very strongly that you do your research. I'm a stickler on research. And to that end, with Touching Spirit Bear, I had literally a dozen people from, you know, Tlingit culture read it. And I didn't delve into Tlingit culture very, very deep at all. Anybody that reads the book knows that, because it wasn't necessary for the story. But I thought there were some wonderful, wonderful things in Aboriginal and First Nation cultures that would be so, so wonderful if people down here from different, gender backgrounds could learn from that. And so, I have no problem with that. And I have run into very, very little criticism of that, as long as I do my job as an author.
Ben Michelson, author of the Spirit Bear novels, Touching Spirit Bear, Ghost of Spirit Bear, is our guest today. Spirit of Reading is the subject, and just because we've got kids here to ask questions doesn't mean you can't. If you want to join the conversation, call us at 1-800-478-8255, 1-800-TALK. In Anchorage, it's a local call at 550-8422, and by email, it's talk@APRN.org. And I think we'll go to Ginny. You have, you say, a couple of readers there with you?
I do, and we did something kind of interesting at Sitka High in our freshman block class. Of the freshman block class read two books, and they had the choice of reading Touching Spirit Bear or a book called Speak by Laurie Hall Anderson. And these young men chose to read Touching Spirit Bear, and I do think they have questions, and I'll let them come up one at a time.
Okay, if you can tell us who you are, would you start out there? Because we're on the radio, can't see you.
My name's Kevin from Sitka High School.
Hi, Kevin. I believe Ben is online with you.
I was wondering, how did the idea of a spirit bear come along?
You know, I don't know if you guys know this or not, but I've raised a black bear for 25 years. His name is Buffy, and he was I'm really against people raising wild animals, but this little particular bear, he's not so little anymore. He's 750 pounds, but he was a research bear in Minnesota that was going to be destroyed, and so I agreed to take him, and I've raised him ever since, and we've become incredibly close. And when I started writing this story, I've noticed with my bear, if I go in and play with him, and if I'm silly, he's silly. It's almost like he's a mirror. If I play hard and rough, he plays hard and rough. If I'm sad, boy, he'll lay his old chin on my shoulder. He's the saddest bear you ever saw. But if I ever go in the pen with him, or if I ever take him on walks and I'm angry that day, he's very dangerous. And so I really wanted that whole philosophy of how you treat the world is how it treats you. That if you go at the world angrily, boy, it's gonna be angry to you. And I'd heard about the spirit bear up in British Columbia, and there was something really magical, mystical about it. And then I was fortunate enough to actually see one and have one come up to within 20 feet of me on a shoreline. And I use my own experience as an author a lot of times in my books. And so it seemed like a magical ingredient that I could put into the book and have this duet, this response, you know, this mirrored response between the main character, Cole Matthews, and the spirit bear. When he tries to kill the spirit bear, it mauls him within an inch of his death, or, you know, inch of his life. But when he finally realizes he's been such a fool and he decides that there's beauty in the world, and all he wants to do before he thinks he's going to die is touch this magnificent creature, it stands there and allows him to touch it. And so that, thus the name Touching Spirit Bear. But that was where it kind of came from.
So do you still have this bear?
I sure do, and I wish I could send you guys a picture. Just before I came online with you guys, I spent the last hour and a half in the den with Buffy, cuddling with him, and we went out on a little bit of a walk, it's a beautiful sunny day here, and so he curled up on this big pad he had, and we just had about a 45-minute nap together.
Want to get me a bear?
Yeah, I'm really against people raising them because I've seen so many cases where wild animals end up at the short end of the stick with human interactions. But this is a bear that gets actually more time spent with him than most children in the county, and because of that, we have an incredible relationship.
Hi, I'm Will, and I have a question for you. How'd you think to send Cole to an island?
You know, I had heard in Circle Justice, I'd talked to a lot of different people involved in Circle Justice, and I'd heard of banishment being used. When I was in British Columbia, I met three different men who had all, when they were children, gone through banishment, and they were troubled teenagers. And in every one of those cases, it was successful, and that's where I first got the idea. I understand that there was a case up there in Alaska of banishment, but it was a little bit. I don't know all the details, but it wasn't successful because there was too much notoriety. I understand the kids thought they were movie stars with all the interviews, and everybody knew where they were, so they could get off the island on Friday nights. It didn't turn out. So I never used that as part of my research, but I did get it right from these three men that had experienced it when they were younger down in British Columbia, and that's where I really became intrigued, because banishment is kind of like a vision quest of sorts. It's a time for you to get away from all the world's influences and look into yourself and try to find answers inside of yourself, not from some little bottle or from some little, you know, a drug or whatever it is, and to look in the only place where you really can find answers, and that's in your heart.
Thank you.
All right, well, thank you. Jenny, I was thinking maybe we would finish with Sitka High and maybe call Blatchy Middle and see what we have over there.
I think that would be great.
All right, well, I want to thank you so much for being with us. You got any, what's your next program going to be in the Spirit of Reading?
Well, we'll be sending out an email this week. We're finishing up with our schools, and the Spirit of Reading packets will be available for public library summer reading programs. And we've applied for a grant for next year, as well as gotten some support from nonprofits interested in literacy. And we're hoping that next year we're going to feature the author, Roland Smith, who I think Ben knows, who wrote a great book called Peak that's about climbing Mount St. Helens. And so it's our hope that we're going to be bringing Roland up and distributing his books around the state. He has several books. One is for high school, and one is for middle school, and one is for elementary. So that's what we're hoping for next year.
All right, Jenny, thank you very much.
Thank you, Steve.
So that is Jenny Blackson. That's one of the godmothers of the Spirit of Reading program. Is very successful. And we got some of the results right here in the studio with us. Aaron, do you think that this project increased your interest in reading, or are you already there?
I was already there.
Tell me more.
I read a lot. Sometimes it's... I hadn't actually read Touching Spirit Bear till I heard that Ben Michelson was coming up. And so I decided, well, why don't I read one of his books? And I read Touching Spirit Bear, and I liked it a lot. And it was fairly easy for me, because I've been reading since a long time ago, but yeah.
Yeah, I know. I'm a big reader, and I started before I went to school. You know, my family, it was important to them, so they read to me all the time I was a little kid. And by the time I got to school, I was way ahead of everybody, which was unfortunate. So, So how far along are you in your reading? What kind of material are you looking at now? Do you prefer fiction, nonfiction? Tell me more.
I like fiction. That's my little sweet tooth there. It's not hard for me to read fiction. My mom calls it my brain candy. But I read all kinds of books, but fiction is my favorite.
Do you have any aspirations towards trying to write yourself while you're writing?
Me and my friend Sarah, we're writing a story together.
All right. Great. Well, don't forget the research part.
Yeah, no.
What about you, Amanda? How did Ben's books play into your reading pattern?
Well, I was already a big reader before, and I actually read his books because I joined Battle of the Books at our school.
Oh, Battle of the Books. I think that's the last program we did a show on.
Mm-hmm. And I read his book, and I really liked how it made you think about life and how you are really part of something bigger than just, you know, yourself. But I've always been a really big reader.
Well, so. Do you branch out into nonfiction? What's your pattern?
I usually read fiction. Every once in a while, I'll read a nonfiction book. But like Aaron said, fiction is really easy for me to read, and
it's the products. Yeah, it's the products of the human imagination. So somebody has imagined it, and, you know, if they put it down in a way that, you know, you can can pick it up, you're getting somebody else's imagination.
And it's when you're reading, it's really easy to think that you're in the story.
Yeah.
So.
Well, Ben, I had a question that, and I haven't read either one of these books, but you said something that piqued my interest when you were talking about your bear and telling the story of Cole. And you said that the bear reflects your feelings, maybe even more than you realize yourself.
Right.
And then you said that there was a transformation in Cole when he realized there's beauty in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. that just resonates for me. Where did you come around to that sort of thing?
You know, there's a poignant place in the book. Cole Matthews is an angry teenager. Everything is about him. It's all about him. He thinks he can manipulate the world. He thinks everybody's a fool but him. It's me, 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 me. It's all about him. And as long as his focus remains that way, he has problems. But there comes a point where he's been mauled. He's laying there, you know, just trying to survive. I mean, he's within an inch of dying. And there's a big storm, and a tree tips over, and there's been a nest right above his head laying there on the ground, and it's full of little baby birds, and he's angry at the baby birds because they have a mother that takes care of him, and he doesn't have anybody that cares about him. But there's a big storm, and the tree falls over, and that morning he looks around, and he's concerned about these little baby birds because they didn't deserve to die. And it's the very first time in his life that he looks beyond himself to caring about something outside of himself. And that's it's a small thing, but it's such a monumental step, and it makes a difference. And I tell you what, Steve, I wish I could share with the whole audience up there the incredible response that I have received from this book. And you know, I was very honored. There in Anchorage, there they built a couple big bear totems and put them in the district office, and I was honored to be up there, you know, during the dedication ceremony. And all of these kids were reading these different lessons they'd learned of perseverance, of dignity, of respect, all these different things. And when I talked to those kids, I told them, I said, you know, yes, I made up the story, but I didn't invent forgiveness. I didn't invent respect. Those are things that you find, each one of you, inside of yourself. And that's I think, the biggest thing with Touching Spirit Bear is that that book has helped a lot of, not just kids, an awful lot of adults find those things within themselves.
Our telephone number is 1-800-478-8255, 1-800-478-TALK, a local call in Anchorage at 550-8422. Our guest is author Ben Michelson as Talk of Alaska continues.
Talk of Alaska comes to you from APRN, the Alaska Public Radio Network, and is made possible with support from Tel Alaska, a telecommunications company proud to support public broadcasting, sharing the spirit of communications across the Great Land. Voice data and Wi-Fi technologies at Tel Alaska. On the web at telalaska.com. Working late? Hear Alaska News nightly at any time of the day on the web at www.aprn.org.
At this very minute, there are a bunch of people listening to the radio who have all read the same book, Touching Spirit Bearer by Ben Michelson. And we have the author, and we have people who have questions or things they want to talk over with Ben as we go into this Spirit of a Reading program that has spread around the school libraries in Alaska. Pretty much a middle school kind of phenomenon, although we have high schoolers as well. We have two middle school students with us in the room right now. And Ben, if you're ready, I think Aaron has got another question for you.
All righty.
Okay, so when Peter invites Cole to go to the pool alone together, and he hits Cole, and Cole doesn't hit back, is that something that might have happened to you, like you hurt someone and then they turned around and tried to hurt you back?
Well, you know, what happened with me, Aaron, that's a really, really a good question. What happened with me was I started dealing with my anger, and I started realizing that you don't get rid of anger. It was a memory, and I put that into the book, that it's a memory. You know, the things that caused our anger are memories. Unless you perform a lobotomy on yourself, you still have those memories. And so it's not like you ever get over it, but what you do is you refocus. You know, there's a point where they're sitting in the pond, and he looks up and says, is it sunny or cloudy? Well, if you look over there, it's sunny. If you look over here, it's cloudy. So which is it? Well, it depends on where you're looking. He says, well, where are you looking? Mm-hmm. And I started realizing that what I focus on becomes my reality. Well, there was times when I felt like a failure because I felt like I was dealing with my anger really, really well, and then something would come up where something would get right in my face and I'd blow up at it. And I'd feel so disappointed in myself. It's like that I had dealt with it. And I started realizing that the real test of which way you're looking and how your life is going is when those tests come, you know, when all of a sudden you have a reason to get angry. And if those were times I could take a deep breath and just say, no, how I react to this is my reality. Not what's happening in front of my face, but how I react to it is my true reality. And so that's why I wanted Cole to get beat up. I wanted this bully who's beaten a lot of other people up, I wanted him to get beat up. And to show how far he had come and the lessons he'd learned, I wanted him to just sit there and take the beating and say, yes, you know, mm-hmm. I'm okay with it. I'm okay because this is a kid that I hurt, actually brain injured. I beat him up so bad. And so I'm big enough now. But it was a real test to Cole. That's a good question.
Yeah, you know what it is that it's kind of, when you imagine, it doesn't necessarily mean that it's not true. It's a deeper level of truth, really. I know it's very hard for me to believe that Seth Kantner does not have a sister. I couldn't believe it when he said, no, I just made her up. It's as if she is real just because he did make her up. And I think we're hearing that here where you're being asked questions. Did that really happen? Did that happen to you? Is that how you got that?
Yeah. Well, you know, we all write, you know, fiction writers. It's funny. I think other fiction writers would say the same thing. Yes, we make up stories, but probably 50 or 60% of everything we make up comes from real life. And all we do is change the clothing and the time of day and the temperature, and we feed those events and experiences into our books. There was way more of me in my books, any of my books, than I would ever admit in a court of law.
Let's go to Ryan. Joins the program from Sitka. Ryan, I think you already know Ben, right?
Yeah, I do.
Hello, Ryan.
Hi, Ben. I just wanted to say I have done. When Ben came up here in Sitka, he did some. He met with the schools a little bit, and I did some postcards or some radio stories with him.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And I think those were interesting to get to spend some time with Ben and to learn about that for all of our city to hear about.
Great. So you got to you made radio out of it. That's great. That's what we're trying to do too.
Yeah, and if they are both on the radio's website, that is www.kcaw.org. That's our public radio station in Sitka here.
Raven Radio.
Yep.
Well, fantastic. Yeah. So that worked out then.
Yeah, it was very fun.
Well, great. How long are they?
They're about 2.5 to 3 minutes long.
Oh, great radio time.
Yeah, well, especially for the time slot that I was looking for, and worked out.
All right. Well, thank you. You got any... go ahead, Ben.
I said those guys were great up there. And, in fact, I want to be... So we don't forget to do this, I really, really want to put in an incredible plug for Alaska Spirit of Reading. Carrie and Ginny and the rest, they just, oh my goodness, they're so dedicated, and they treated me like a king when I was up there. But more than that, they really, really are plugged into this notion that if a book, the right book, is, can encourage a child, a student, and if it's relevant to their lives, it can change a life. It is that powerful. And boy, what they're doing up there is, I applaud it.
I think Carrie may be with us from Blatchy Middle School Library. Are you with us there? No, not yet.
Yes, she's right here.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
Hi, Carrie.
Hi.
How you doing?
I'm doing well. We have another student here, too, Ben Gordon. And he was going to talk about the barbecue we had for Ben, if that's possible.
Okay, great.
Okay, good.
Great.
Go ahead.
I'd just like to say... it was neat to see all the kids there. I mean, a lot of people were carrying rocks, like for the ancestor rocks, and a kid even took a dip into a small little bay thing and to wash away his anger. And I just have a question. Where did all that originate from?
Majority of it came from this Haida spiritual leader that I met from Port Hardy. But some of it I made up. Some of it I made up, and some of it was shared to me, by other elders. But the majority of it came from this, because this guy he works with juvenile delinquents and troubled teenagers, and so I can't claim credit for most of that. But it's just wonderful. I do have to say the hot dog idea, if you eat a hot dog to keep you alive, that's all it does. If you decide to cut it in half and share it, it becomes a celebration. If you sing and dress it up, it becomes a feast. The hot dog is like life. How you treat it is how it becomes. And, I did come up with that, and there was that lesson that Garvey visited Cole Matthews in the juvenile detention center, and he had him taste all the ingredients for a cake one by one, and they stunk, eating raw eggs and flour and butter and lard and all this stuff. And then he gave him one more thing at the end. He gave him the piece of cake, and he said, "How is that?" He said, "Well, that's the first thing that tasted good today, Well, and he said, "Well, okay, if you had your choice to leave any of the other ingredients out, what would you leave out?" And he said, "You can't, because otherwise you wouldn't have such a good cake." And that life is that way, and we have all of us that have talked today on this radio have things in our lives that we kind of sometimes wished hadn't taken place. But if we like who we've become, then we can't leave any of the past out, because I wouldn't be talking to everybody here in Alaska today if I hadn't had some of my struggles that made me who I am. That's a good one.
Ben and Sitka.
Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you. Did you pass it back to Carrie?
I'm here.
Carrie, you were also one of the organizers of the Spirit of Reading, so we really wanted to have you on. We talked to Jenny earlier. I don't know if you have the radio on there. I can't hear.
I heard a little bit of it, yes.
Yeah, but I wonder if there was anything you could add about why this has caught on so well, if there's something beyond the hard work that you both have obviously done.
I think partly it's because Alaska has a strong library community, and we all depend on each other because we're a state that has so many rural areas. We had a lot of help. We had help from a woman named Ann Morgester in Anchorage. So the word gets around easily in Alaska.
Yeah. Do you have a question for Ben?
How's Buffy?
Oh, he's doing just wonderful. In fact, I was telling Steve and the rest of the audience, I wished I could have just flashed into your heads the hour and a half or 2 hours before I had this radio interview. I spent almost totally with Buffy. He came out, and we went on a little walk, and then he's out of hibernation now, and then he has a big, big pad over in front of the house he goes and he lays on, and I went over and cuddled up with him and one of the cats in between us, and that's how we spent the last hour before the interview. But he's doing wonderful.
And we have another question from one of the students here, Ryan Apathy.
Hello, Ryan.
Hi, I just had one final question. I talked to you about this before, but what was your final inspiration for coming up with this book?
I think it was, all of the, when you have...